Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Man, I'm going to give you the greatest theology lesson today that you've ever had in your whole life. And here it is. Good God, bad devil. You know what? That sounds foolish. That sounds immature. But evidently, we need a wake-up call on the simplicity of the gospel. We need a wake-up call on how to sort stuff out. God is a good God. He is nothing but good. He is love. Everything about Him comes from a heart of love. And I'll tell you something. Every good thing in your life has come from God, and every bad thing in your life has come from the devil. Not the way that you have thought, not the way that you've been taught in the past about the devil, but in the way that the devil really, really works by convincing you that God's not good, that He's not trustworthy. Listen, my name is Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this broadcast. This program can be watched anytime on impactministries.com, as well as the entire series that goes along with this program. Listen, call your friends, invite your neighbors, get your kids together, get your pencil and paper out. We're going to jump in the Word of God. This month, I'm offering what I call the Victory Pack. This includes a message about the gospel of peace, dignity and worth, grace, the power to change, the love of God, Satan, a defeated foe. Plus, everyone who orders the Victory Pack this month will get a free download of my best-selling book, The Gospel of Peace, that has sold millions of copies around the world. And many people have testified it's the most powerful, life-changing book that they have ever read. Man, I'm excited about today's program because this is the fundamental truth that kept me on track. You know, I got off track in my walk with God like everybody has. When I say got off track, I'm not talking about, you know, going out and doing drugs and chasing women and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about getting off track doctrinally. That, you know, there were things back in the early days of the charismatic movement that would get introduced and you'd be willing to listen to these teachers that influenced you because you trusted them. But at the end of the day, I'm so thankful that early in my walk with God, I realized that the Holy Spirit is my teacher. I want to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit is not your teacher, you'll always end up following man instead of following God. You'll always end up intellectually accepting doctrines because they come from leaders that you trust. And that's you know, it's great that you trust leaders. You should trust leaders. But you know what the Bible actually tells us in the book of Hebrews? The Bible says we should consider the outcome of leaders and basically based on that outcome, then we decide if we're going to follow their faith, if we're going to follow what they teach, if we're going to follow what they say. And we're not talking about their outcome in the pulpit. We're not talking about whether or not they build a big church and that kind of stuff. We're talking about, are they happy? Are they filled with peace? Do they walk in love? Can you get along with them? Are they good people? Sadly in this day and age, leaders are so insulated from people that you don't even know who you're following most of the time. And I realize when somebody's got a big ministry is that way, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to get you critical of leaders, but I'm trying to say keep your relationship with leaders in its proper place. Listen to what leaders say. Listen to what teachers and preachers say. But at the end of the day, you go home, you get out your Bible, and don't just read the Bible from their perspective. Read the Bible and let the Holy Spirit teach you. Because I'm going to tell you what, we had more crazy stuff back in the early 70s, really 70s and 80s. We had more crazy stuff come out doctrinally. And it would kind of, you know, you'd start to kind of follow it, and you start getting off track, and you didn't feel right about it, and you'd be trying to convince yourself that it's right, and all this kind of stuff. But you know something? I always came back to the fact that God is good, that He loves me, He's for me, I can trust Him. And, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, the word gospel, right after I got saved, I had the opportunity, well, first, my very first pastor that I had was a great guy. He was pretty newly graduated from seminary. And man, he taught me right off the bat to never look up a word in the Bible in a dictionary, unless it was a Greek dictionary or a Hebrew dictionary. So you know, I started studying original language very, very early in my walk with God. I'm not saying I'm a great translator or anything like that. I'm just saying I know how to use these tools. Well, And then one of the first classes I took at night when I went back to school was through a seminary that had an extension department here in Huntsville. And I'll never forget just learning some of these basic word meanings in the beginning. And in the very beginning, one of the first things I discovered was the word gospel means good news. Man, that was so simple, but you know what? That kept me on track. That kept me from getting too far off in these extremes, or when I would head off into some extreme. At some point, I'd have to ask myself this question, you know, is this revealing how good God is? Is this really showing the love of God, or is this showing something else? Well, you know, in the early years, I was a street preacher, and I was winning people to the Lord on the streets, and you know, I was a one-on-one soul winner, and I loved it, had no interest in preaching in churches. So, you know, you start preaching in churches, and then you're having to teach people how to walk with God, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I can remember at some point in time, feeling pretty good about myself for winning people to Jesus, feeling pretty good about myself for ministering to people all the time. I wasn't self-righteous, but, you know, I think it was a form of self-righteousness, or it was something that wasn't totally healthy. But I remember this. The Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, you know, when you get to where you preach the gospel all the time, you're really going to see people get saved. What? Well, you know, start seeking God. And I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to me and just said, if it's not good news, it's not gospel. And I had to go back and rethink everything that I was teaching, everything that I was saying, and making sure that at the end of the day, everything that I was teaching about God, everything I was teaching about walking with God, was revealing the true nature of God, was revealing the love of God. You see, John 10:10, I used to tell people this all the time, John 10:10 is the dividing line of the gospel. John 10:10, Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He says, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's it. And there's no gray. This is black and white. There is no gray. Either it's life-giving or it's killing you. Either it's good news or it's bad news. And I'll tell you, buddy, when we get out here in areas of gray, that's when we get into places where we mess ourselves up and our faith gets destroyed. You see, at the end of the day, the reason we can trust God is because God is good. God is love. You know, faith works by love. And faith doesn't work so much by the fact that we have love and that we're these incredibly loving people. Faith works based on the fact that God is love, and that once we determine, you know, who God really is, once we connect with who God is and we connect with the love of God, faith is going to come alive inside of us. That's why without faith you can't please God, because if you don't trust God, then that means you're probably afraid of God. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:16-18, it says that if you're afraid of God, it shows that you have not really been made perfect by His love. You don't trust in His perfect love, and you're afraid of what He's going to do to you. You can't have faith. All faith is trust. You can't trust somebody that you're afraid of. You can't trust somebody that you think is going to do bad things to you. I'll tell you, very early in my walk with God, it just became abundantly evident that God was good, that God was always good, and if what was coming into my life was not good, then it was not of God. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that are trying to sort this out doctrinally. There's a lot of people, that really are trying to capsulize, if you will, or capsulate a doctrine of God being a good God, you know, and they're trying to bring this all into just a doctrinal perspective. And you should have doctrine. Don't get me wrong. You need good, healthy doctrine. But I want you to realize doctrine is no substitute for knowing and experiencing God yourself. If you've heard me speak very often, you know that usually when I quote John 10, I also quote in John where Jesus says, now this is life. See, he said in John 10, I've come that they might have life. But then he says, and this is life, to know or to experience God and Jesus whom he has sent. So the way Jesus came to give us life, but the way he gives us life is that through him we get to know God. And see, when we talk about through Him, sometimes we get legalistic in that concept. And that's just technically. In other words, because I get saved, then I get to know God through the Lord Jesus. No, it's more than that. It's the fact that Jesus revealed to us who God really is. Jesus showed us what God would be doing if He was walking around here on planet Earth. And what did Jesus do, man? He preached, He taught people, He healed people, He brought mercy and kindness to people. You say, well, wait a minute, He had some hard words to say to people. Let me tell you something. When Jesus spoke hard words to people, go back and look at who He was talking to. Jesus didn't have hard words for the person that was struggling. Jesus didn't have hard words for the person that was trapped in sin. Jesus didn't have hard words. I mean, now, let me tell you something. All these people that He came to and helped that were in sin, He told them to go and sin no more. Get out of sin. This sin stuff's going to kill you. Quit playing with this. But He didn't condemn them. He didn't beat them up. He wasn't unkind to them. Who did He have the hard words for? I'll tell you who. Was for religious leaders who were entrapping people into legalism, who were perverting the way people are seeing God. You know, up until Jesus came, you see, God had just been revealing Himself to us by His Word, by His name. But ultimately, all of that came together when Jesus Christ came to earth. He came to earth as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the grace of God. He was the Son of God. He was the perfect representation of God. But He showed us what God would look like. You know what? If you can't find Jesus making anybody sick, then you have to realize that I can't think that God's making me sick. You know, Jesus never walked up to somebody and said, all of your money leave you. You say, well, wait a minute. There was that one time where He told that guy that he needed to go give away all that he had or sell all that he had and give it to the poor. Yeah, you know why? Because that guy wanted to know how to inherit eternal life. And the problem was he trusted in his money. He didn't trust God. And the only reason that one person was told to go give away everything that they had was because that was what was preventing them from trusting God. You look at the life of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Read the Gospels. And, you know, read the book of Mark. It's just 16 chapters. Go back and read the book of Mark and the book of John over and over and over again. And just look at how Jesus treated people. Look at what Jesus did, how He healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind. These are the kinds of things that God does. Well, I want to tell you something. You don't really connect with the love of God in a way that makes your faith come alive just because you've got the right doctrine. A lot of people have good doctrine. But if that good doctrine does not turn into connecting with Him personally, if that good doctrine does not turn into having a prayer life and being involved with God and following Him and listening to the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to change your faith. It's not even going to change how you see and experience God. You know, I've experienced some incredible things in my life. Man, I've experienced healings, incredible healings. You know, God has walked me out of more sicknesses than most people ever face in their whole life. You say, well, why did you get sick so much? Well, one reason I got sick so much is because I was born with a congenital disease. And, you know, I had to walk through that. Another reason I got sick was because there'd be a lot of times I'd be doing missions work in other countries and I'd get parasites or diseases, pick up things and come back home. And you know, I've been in several automobile accidents, those kinds of things. I've had things happen. But you know what? God has led me out of all of them, and He'll lead you out of what you're in. But I'll tell you something. He won't lead you out of them if you don't trust Him. You say, so He's not going to lead me if I don't trust Him. No. The problem is He's going to be trying to lead you, but you're not going to follow Him if you don't trust Him. You see, having doctrine, and you got to have good doctrine. Don't get me wrong. But doctrine is not a suitable substitute for knowing, experiencing, trusting, and following God. You know, so many times God has led me into situations that you know, the outcome was miraculous, that helped me avoid hardships and difficulties and trouble that was coming. You know, he's led me in decisions, you know, financially that affected me financially. I remember, you know, when I was first saved, man, I had my first real job since I'd since I'd been born again. Well, actually, it was my first real job in years because before I got saved, you know, I'd do construction work on and off, but then I'd go play in bands for a while, and then when the band would fall apart, I'd go do construction work or do anything to make money just in between putting these bands together and making money that way. And so finally I get saved, man, I got a good job, got insurance. First time in my life I ever had insurance and had all these benefits. Man, I'll never forget the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, it's time for you to take a step out where I'm going to lead you. And I won't go into all the story, but long and short of it is, turned to my notice, loaded up my car, and I spent the summer traveling around the southeastern United States, left home with a tank of gas and probably about $20. And spent most of the summer on the road, going from city to city, ministering on the streets, ministering in houses, ministering in home prayer meetings. And, you know, I didn't know anybody when I would go into these cities. I would meet people along the way. I'd minister to people along the way, and I would encounter people. You know, I'll never forget when I got ready to come back home. One day, I was walking away from this little church that I had preached at, and I was walking because, you know, I was trying to conserve my gas. You know, that's part of the reason, because I didn't have much money. And I was walking back to the little house I was staying in, and the Lord said, leave tonight. Well, this was back in the 70s when there was a gas shortage, and at sundown, the gas stations closed down. You couldn't buy gas. And I remember thinking, man, leaving tonight's kind of risky. So packed up my car, loaded up, took off, and I was down outside of New Orleans, headed back to Huntsville. So I'm going north up the Natchez Trace, get caught out there. Can't get any gas, you know, basically have no gas in my car. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to pull over somewhere and sleep in my car until I can find a gas station because I'm not going to make it. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, you just keep driving. Just keep driving. And it was phenomenal. You know, I drove nearly all night long with my gas hand on empty, you know, which was a miraculous thing. But the Lord had spoken to me to go to a particular city that I had gone through on my way down to Louisiana. And I went back through this city, and there was a man that had a home Bible study that I'd preached at, and the Lord spoke to me to go see him. And I just assumed the Lord wanted me to go minister to him. I didn't go there because I wanted to get anything from him. But I said, okay, I'll go. And it was out of the way, and that's part of why I was driving all night, to get there at the right time. Let me tell you something. God's got a plan for you, and usually when he speaks to you, you want to follow him when he speaks to you, because so many times he's trying to connect you with somebody else. He's trying to hook you up with somebody else that is going to be the other half of your miracle. Your half is the obedience part, and that other person, they're going to do whatever their part is. So anyhow, I go back to this little town in Starkville, Mississippi, and I go to this guy's music store, and when I walk in the door, I'll never forget, the guy said, you're the one. And I thought, I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? He said, you're the one. I said, I'm the one at what? He reached under the counter, pulled out a big envelope full of money. And he said, a woman came in here a few days ago and gave me this envelope and said, the Lord led me to give this to you. And he told the woman, he said, I don't need this. He said, I don't need any money. He said, I've got a business. I'm doing well. And the woman said, you might be, but I'm telling you, the Lord told me to bring it to you. So here it is. And she just left. Well, you know, fortunately, he was one of those guys that instead of just grabbing it, going out and spending it all, he said, all right, Lord, you know, you gave this to me for a reason. So I'll trust you're going to show me what to do with this. So he stuck it under his counter. And he said, when I walked in the door, before I ever said anything, the Lord, the minute he saw me, he knew I was the person that envelope had been left for. So he hands me the envelope. I drive back home. I get home. There's enough money in there to pay all of my bills that are due. To buy groceries, and then, you know, then I'm ready to start all over again. You know what? That was phenomenal. That was a phenomenal thing. But I got news for you. I wasn't walking around saying, oh, God, give me money. Oh, God, pay my bills. Oh, God, help me. I was just saying, God, what's next? Where do you want me to go next? Well, what he wanted me to do next was leave that little town I was in, Pumpkin Center, Louisiana, and drive to Starkville, Mississippi at night, you know, with no gas. And what he wanted me to do was obey him and go to that music store. He was leading me to get me to the right place. And I'm just going to tell you, it wasn't like I was trying to believe God for anything. I was just trusting God because I knew him. I knew he was good. I knew then and I know now that whatever he's leading me to do, he's leading me to do it because because He's got something great in store for me. I'm telling you, it is never a bad thing to follow the Lord. God's never going to lead you into something that's difficult and hard. Well, I say it's not going to be difficult and hard, but let me put it this way. Everywhere that God leaves you, He's going to lead you somewhere where it's going to benefit your life, benefit your future, benefit your finances, benefit your family. You can always trust God confidently. But see, so many times we don't really believe God's a good God. And so we're trying to work faith to get a healing or to get a miracle or get something to happen. And really, at the core of our belief, we don't believe God's a good God. You know, in about 1975, I moved to Pensacola, Florida to go to Bible college. While I was there, I got a job and I was trying to find an apartment to live in. So I was checking the ads on the paper because I wanted to get enrolled in Bible college. One of the houses that I went to, sat down and talked to a guy. He had a little garage apartment behind his house for rent. And while I was sitting there talking to him, his telephone rang, and he said, "Excuse me, I'm going to do this." I noticed he had a guitar over there in the corner, so I picked up this guitar, started playing this guitar, just kind of playing around on it. So when he comes back, he says, "Man, you're a pretty good guitar player." And I said, "Well, I used to play for a living." And I said, so we started talking. And I didn't know it. This guy was a newspaper reporter. And so he said, "Do you mind if I put your story in the newspaper?" And I said, "No, I'm fine with it." So basically, I didn't realize it was going to be so big. That Sunday in the Pensacola News Journal, which covered all of the panhandle of Florida, they had two full pages of my testimony and picture of me in there, and so my testimony got shared with thousands and thousands of people, and then all kinds of interesting ministry doors opened up. Well, it turned out that the apartment he had was too small, and the long short of it, another young couple moved in there, and I met them, and the girl that was there, her sister sang with the Grateful Dead. So that gave me a bond because it was a music thing. Ministered to her and her husband. They got saved. Long and short of it is she was pregnant, ended up having a baby, and this baby was born fighting for his life. His lungs were filling up with fluid. I can't remember what all was wrong with this baby. And so I just led them to the Lord. They didn't know hardly anything about God. And I was talking to the husband, and they had started going to some little church that was teaching them that God would test you, and God would try you, and God would prove you, and all this kind of stuff. I knew they were in trouble if that's what they were believing about God. So I managed to get into the hospital to see her because they actually weren't letting. Back in those days, you couldn't hardly get into a room with a mother and a baby. And so I went into the room and I said, "Listen, I'm going to just tell you something. You're not going to like it." I said, "But I hear your husband talking about you don't know why God's doing this. You don't know why God's testing you. You don't know what's going on here." I said, "Let me tell you something. If you think God is doing this, you're never going to trust Him. Your baby's going to die. You're going to blame God. And in the end, you're going to be bitter, probably backslide." I said, and I just start sharing with her about the goodness of God. And I said, "You need to repent. You need to change your mind about what you believe about God." That's what repentance means. And we prayed together, and man, she repented. "Father, I realize that. I realize that I didn't believe the truth." Long and short of it is, I left there. Later that night, they brought the baby to her. She was feeding the baby, and she wasn't paying much attention. She heard the door open to her hospital room. She looked down under the curtain, and she noticed, the shoes of the person coming around. They had on the same hospital shoes, as it looked like as anybody else would have. And so she just thought it was a nurse coming around. She's feeding her baby, and when she looks up, Jesus is standing at the foot of her bed, and He walked straight over to her, put His hands right on that baby, and spoke life, and that baby was instantly and completely healed right at that moment. And He just turned around and walked out of the room, and she had a miracle. Let me tell you something. How in the world can you open your heart for healing if you don't believe God's a good God? If you think God is testing you, how complicated is it? How sick does this get to think, I don't know who to trust? The Bible says when you're tempted, tested, tried, scrutinized, or made to strive, don't ever say it's God, because God does not test, tempt, try, scrutinize, or cause anyone to have to strive. Let me tell you something. God's not into making people strive. He's not into testing you. The only test God's got for you is the test of faith. And the test of faith says this. The test of faith says, here's my promises. They're all good. They're all for you. They're all yours. And because you're mine, and you're in me. You have my righteousness. And so all of these promises are yours right now. Will you believe it? Listen, come back with me in my mentoring moment, just a few minutes. Man, I want to invite you to some of my live events this year. We got all kinds of things happening. October 10th to the 12th, I'm going to be in Chicago, Illinois, at Destined to Win Church. I tell you, I love going up there. Got my great buddy up there. I can't wait to be there. October the 17th to the 19th, right here in Huntsville, we're going to have a heart physics weekend. And I'm telling you something, we're going to be dealing with health and healing and heart physics. You want to be here for this. November the 21st, I'm going to be at Six Nations Reserve in Hagersville, Ontario. And I can't wait to be up there. I tell you what, I have a great time every time I go up there. Listen, be sure and download our app. This mobile app will give you everything that's going on. You get all of my quotes, all of my blogs, all of my messages, all of my special offers. And I'm telling you, we're going to be launching a new encouragement campaign to make sure that every day or two you're getting something that's fresh from the Lord that I'm feeling like God is saying. And I've done this in the past for years, and sometimes I'll stop for a while, but you want to get this, you want to stay in touch. This month, I'm offering what I call the Victory Pack. This includes a message about the gospel of peace, dignity and worth, grace, the power to change, the love of God, Satan, a defeated foe. Plus, everyone who orders the Victory Pack this month will get a free download of my best-selling book, The Gospel of Peace, that has sold millions of copies around the world. And many people have testified it's the most powerful, life-changing book that they have ever read. You know, the Bible tells us that whenever we come into conflict, or whenever we're warring, if you will, and by the way, all that warring is going on inside of us, it says that we should have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the gospel of peace is based on the covenant of peace, which God made in the Lord Jesus Christ, which says God is at peace with me. So really, that having your feet shod means to have your feet shod with a thorough preparation of the gospel, of the good news of peace. In other words, no matter what happens to you, the only way you can maintain a sure footing is when you are thoroughly convinced, when your mind, your thinking is thoroughly prepared, thoroughly sold out to the fact that God is good, there's peace between you and God, so God is not doing this to me. God is not testing me. God is not the one allowing this to happen to me. I may not understand all of those factors, but it's never God doing it to me. And the reason that that has to be the starting place is because there's any part of you that thinks this might be God doing it, allowing it, or somehow using it for you, then you'll never trust God to deliver it from you. You know, we have these belief bands, and you can get one from our website. And with this belief band, besides the fact that it's got these scriptures, it says, I am complete in Him and all things are possible. Boy, I love those two scriptures. But you use this belief band. When you catch your mind running in some negative thought, when you catch your mind questioning God in any way, you pop your wrist, you interrupt that thought. And the moment you interrupt that thought, you need to have you some scriptures ready. Put them on the notepad on your phone. You know, back in the old days, I'd put them on 3x5 index cards and carry them in my pocket. And anytime I found myself questioning God, anytime I found myself even saying, okay, I probably deserve this, anytime I found myself in any way, shape, form, or fashion attributing what was going wrong in my life to God, I would interrupt that thought. And I'd pull out that 3x5 card, or in your case, open up your phone and open up your notepad, start quoting scriptures that remind you of how good God is until your feet are absolutely shod with peace between you and God.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.